This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, November 10th, 2024. Daniel, what about?
Well, good morning, Connection Church. My name is Carrie Jones, and normally I'm here, and my husband Alan is here. If you've never been here at Connection before, we're a tag team preaching couple, but he is serving along with a lot of other people to support a weekend called Chrysalis. Chrysalis is a youth retreat, and we have several of our youth experiencing that retreat for the first time. It's intended for them to grow closer to Jesus and the new life that he offers. A lot of our church is there serving, so they'll be home today, and we're just excited to see what God's going to do with our youth. We know that it's something. We know it's something. I am a sinner, and I've been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me, please? Mighty God, thank you so much for this day. Oh, what a gift it is that we are able to be together, that we can lift our voices to praise your name, that we can settle in and hear your word in scripture, whether we're here on campus or online, Lord. Open our hearts so that we may be changed and transformed by you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, Alan and I and the rest of our family, we were in Nashville at a wedding of our niece, and it was a lovely time. But we got to worship with you as well, because we joined on demand. If you miss a Sunday, you can go on demand and be a part of the worship. And we really got something out of the message that Bonnie Sieben, our co-director of youth, shared. She opened up this Daniel series with the question, what if? What if? Not to think back and get depressed about what if a decision I made, you know, if it could have played out differently or better, but in our future, what if? What if I align myself with God? That's all I want to do. What if? Well, today, this message is called, What About? And we are looking at chapter 2 of Daniel. So Bonnie focused on chapter 1. I'm on chapter 2. And next week, we'll talk about chapter 3. Little bit about Daniel. She shared that it is a book about Daniel, who was taken from his homeland and brought to Babylon to serve the king. And the king was King Nebuchadnezzar. And this book is about Daniel's life, and it's about 530 some years before Jesus. It's a book of prophecy. It really tells what is going to happen, and I'm going to share a little bit about that. It's only 12 chapters, and we're going to hit the first three and then do the others at another time. And so, today, what about? Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. What about? How do we relate to this? We love you, Lord. Open us up. Amen. What about chapter 2? We're going to start. If you have your Bibles with us, you're welcome to open them. If you have your Bible app, as long as you don't scroll through Facebook. Yeah, I know how it goes. Let's start with verse 1 of chapter 2. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. Say Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar. You're going to be hearing his name a lot. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, the enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. Nebuchadnezzar had a really bad dream. And during that time, they had a group of people. You heard me say who they were: magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers. And you know what they called them? They called them wise men. Do you really want your sorcerer? Do you call that wise men? No. But that's how it was, because they were tuned into gods, little g gods. And they were, part of their purpose was to interpret dreams as well as advise the king. So they were gathered, and they, you know, the king brought them in and said, I want you to interpret this dream. And they said, well, tell us what it is, and we will. But Nebuchadnezzar had other ideas. Verse 5. The king replied to the astrologers, this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your homes turned into piles of rubble. Gosh, that's pretty dramatic, isn't it? I mean, this whole book of Daniel is so dramatic. It's got dreams and visions and fiery furnaces and the lion's den. And now we have this. But, we always say, but, and here it comes. If you tell me the dream and explain it, you'll receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me. What? Really? I mean, they could interpret the dream, but they have to tell them what the dream is? Oh my goodness. Have you ever had a bad dream? Have you ever had a weird dream? I had a really weird dream Monday night. I had set Tuesday aside to write the message, to begin writing it, and sometime in the wee hours of the morning, I had the strangest dream. So I think it set me up to understand that Nebuchadnezzar's dream was weird too, and we all have weird dreams. I want to share what my dream was about. So my sister and I were in this really big warehouse. It was multiple stories. It was kind of dark, and there were lines all through the warehouse, and we were in line. Was I thinking about the election the next day, getting in line? I don't know. Well, we weren't adults, but we weren't kids. We were wearing puffy jackets. Now, what does that have to do with anything? I don't even have a puffy jacket. Anyway, we're in this warehouse, and I lost Turner. Now, in real life, Turner's my son. But in this dream, he was not my son, but he was somebody who I really, really cared about, and I was so distraught that I had lost him. Maybe I was dreaming about when I really did. Anyway, next thing I know in this dream, I'm in this doctor's office. Well, y'all know I've had trouble with my knees, so I've been in doctor's offices recently trying to get my knees fixed, and my PA was looking at my knees, but in this doctor's office, it was so crowded, full of not only the 19 family members in my family, but my extended family, and that's really big because I'm one of five kids, and so there's brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews. We were all there, and they were like having a party, and I'm agonizing over my knees, and he's getting ready to inject me and all that kind of stuff. What was that about? Well, we were with our family last week, and we had a great time. And then I woke up, and I burst out laughing. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was such a weird dream. Of course I can relate to King Nebuchadnezzar. He had a bad dream too, but mine wasn't that bad. But then Alan was over. He was ironing his shirt, getting ready for the day. And I said, hey, Alan, I had a dream. You tell me what it is and then interpret it, or I'll cut you up in pieces. I just had to laugh because that started me off on this writing of this message. Anyway, just sort of strange, sort of weird. I want to get back to the story now. So the wise men, they really tried a workaround. They tried to start bargaining with King Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, okay, tell your servant the dream. The servant can tell us, and then we'll interpret it. Well, the king wouldn't have it. He said, absolutely not. You tell me the dream, and if it's right, I'll trust you with the interpretation. Do it, or I'll kill you. They were in a jam. So they tried again. And it didn't hurt that they would try again because their lives were on the line. Let's pick it up at verse 10. They said to the king, "There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty," I mean, I can imagine they were shaking when they were saying this, "has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods." See that little G god? "And they do not live among humans." So they admitted that they couldn't get into the king's head because their little G gods couldn't perform that. Their little G gods couldn't reveal that to them. Our God is amazing. In this, it says, "These gods do not live among humans. Our God came down from heaven and walked among us. Our God put skin on." John 1:1, "The word became flesh and dwelt among us." Our God, heaven meets earth, human yet divine. I'm so thankful. Well, when the king heard their response, he was furious. And he decided to put out an edict, not only to kill them, but all the wise men. Well, what about? So what about Daniel? How does he enter this narrative, this unfolding drama? Daniel was in King Nebuchadnezzar's training program. The whole point of Daniel and these imports that they brought in, who were the best and the brightest, was to serve the king. And so that's what Daniel was being trained to do. So the officers came to get Daniel and his friends, and probably the others, and take them into the king, because they were all going to be killed. Daniel was perplexed. He said, "Why would the king be so harsh? Let me talk to the king." Daniel, what guts. Because the king wanted to kill him. It reminds me of David, shepherd boy David, who said, "What do you mean there's Goliath? Take me to him." You know, that boldness. Because they weren't operating under their own strength. They had the strength of the big G God, our God. And so Daniel did get to have an audience before the king. They don't say a whole lot about it, except that Daniel says, and I'm paraphrasing, but says, "Give me a little bit of time, and I'll come back and interpret the dream for you." And it would appear that Daniel is stalling, like the others, but he wasn't stalling at all. He was saying, "I need a little time," because Daniel needed to pray. He needed to go into prayer. Isn't that true? When we're faced with things, it's like, okay, let me take a breath. I need to go right into prayer. So Daniel prayed and he got his friends to pray. And we read in verse 18 that he urged them, that's his friends, to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Daniel was not just concerned about himself. He was not just concerned about his friends. He was concerned about all the wise men of Babylon. Did you hear that? They were people that didn't agree with him. They were people who worshiped little g gods, and Daniel still had compassion. We can learn something from that, because we're in a world that's a bit polarized, and we can and should and must have compassion for one another, even in our differences, and show love no matter what. There is no room as a Christian for nastiness. And so Daniel took the high road. He prayed They went to sleep. And of course God revealed what needed to be revealed. God revealed the dream and a vision to Daniel. And the Bible said Daniel woke up. What did he do? What was the first thing he did? He praised God. He praised God, the God of heaven, and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his." Another lesson we can take from Daniel. We need to praise God in all of our circumstances. So the main character of this chapter 2 is not King Nebuchadnezzar. It's not Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. It's not even Daniel. The main character is God. God. In research for this message, I found three aspects of God that I want to share, and I found these from a pastor named Thomas Steger, so I want to give him credit for these three points that I'm going to make. In chapter 2, we see the God of provision. Say provision. Yep, the God of provision. I mean, this was really a tense situation. And Daniel and his friends and all these wise men, their lives were on the line. And Daniel had this dream, and God provided. They gave God praise. It's so important to give God praise. Verse 26 through 28, the king asked Daniel, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Once Daniel went back to the king, that was the big question. And Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But," here it comes again, "there is a God, capital G, in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come." So here we have this situation where we've got the king and we've got Daniel. And the king says, "Can you interpret my dream?" And Daniel says, "No. No, I can't." Just like what the others said. "No, I cannot interpret the dream. But I know who can. And the God of heaven is the one who interpreted the dream for me." So I thought that was pretty gutsy. But God, remember, God of provision, God provided that vision of the dream for Daniel. What about? Well, what about the dream? What is the mystery of this whole dream? In a nutshell, there was this beautiful statue. I'm not sure how beautiful it was, but that's what it says. Beautiful statue. The head was made of gold. The chest and arms were silver. The belly and thighs were bronze. The legs were iron. And the feet were a combination of iron and baked clay. So Daniel shared the dream, said that, and then he says this in verses 34 and 35. "While you were watching," while King Nebuchadnezzar, "while you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken into pieces at the same time and became like chaff on the threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace." Whoa. So God's provision not only gave Daniel the vision of a dream, but the ability to interpret the dream. And boy, oh boy, that was a weird dream. But the interpretation of that dream is a doozy. Here's the interpretation. King Nebuchadnezzar symbolizes the head of the statue, which is gold. And that represents king and the Babylonian Empire. The next part of the statue is the silver chest and arms, and that represents the Persians who come in and wipe away King Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. And then after that, the bronze belly and the thighs represent Alexander and the Greeks who come in and wipe away the Persians. And then after that, you've got the iron legs and, then the iron and the clay feet are the Romans. The legs are the Greek. The feet are the Romans who wipe it away. I mean, see, you see one conqueror, war, 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 war. Check this out. And then the wind swept all that away because while King Nebuchadnezzar was watching, a rock cut out, not by human hands, came and obliterated the whole thing. You know who that was? It was God. The kingdom of God wins. The kingdom of God wins. That represents the eternal empire. And so King Nebuchadnezzar, I don't know if he believed in the big G God like we do, but he knew that Daniel's God was so powerful. And so he fell on his face and said, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal the mystery." Wow. He realized that these little g gods had nothing on God of the universe, on God of heaven. Daniel's God was the God of provision. God saved God's people through Daniel. So, God of provision, we read about that. Next, I want to go back. God of provision. I don't know what you came in with today. You may be struggling. I know in this group of people, we struggle and we wonder, is God going to provide the job, the right job? Is God going to restore my health? Is God going to help me deal with my kid? Is God going to blah, blah, blah? God, what? God. And so we start self-talking. Okay, God, you're the God of provision. You've got this. You've got this. And we go on and we go on. And then we think, God, do you have it? We serve a God of provision. We love a God of provision. And God's presence is provision enough. Sometimes we don't get what we pray for, but we always have the relationship with Jesus Christ. And to that, I am beyond thankful. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. God of provision. Next, chapter 2 is about a God of providence. Say providence. Providence. Yeah, that's a word that we don't say a lot, we don't use a lot, but providence is this idea that God cares deeply for God's people and God is in control. God is in control because God made creation and us, and he has all authority and power. And it also means that God intervenes in big stuff, in small stuff, everything in between. God intervened, answered Daniel's prayers, answered the prayers of his friends. He provided the wisdom and the knowledge. God cared so deeply. And God had Daniel use his gifts to save his people. And Daniel remained humble through it all. He was only a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And this goes back to God's providence, God's care, God's love, God's provision, God's providence. What does that do for us? It gives us hope. Hope. So much hope. God's got us. God's in control. Oh, you hear? Oh, God's in control. I really believe it. Have you read the end of the story? God's in control. God, I have this situation in my life. I'm like, okay, you're in control. You're in control. I believe it. You're in control. God, are you really in control? Like, do you really hear this? Do you really feel me? Do you really, Are you in control? There's nothing that God is not in control over. We make choices. There's free will. I can, you know, that's a whole different thing, but it all comes together. God's in control of our lives. And as believers in Jesus, we just need to align ourselves and walk it out. And God's providence and God's provision will carry us. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Chapter 2, God's provision, God's providence. This next part, for me, maybe for you, is the best one of all. The kingdom of God, we see this in Daniel, is permanent. Say permanent. Permanent. God's kingdom cannot be overtaken. It cannot be overcome. It cannot be outdone. There's no one greater. No one. God is sovereign. That means that everything is in his power and his wisdom and his might. And God has the authority to do whatever God wants to do. God is Alpha, Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, the end. The kingdom of God won't crumble like that statue. We read in chapter 44 of Daniel 2, in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. That's good news, friends. That is such good news. The Bible describes God's permanence, God's kingdom that will never be destroyed. We just see that throughout the prophetic word. We see that at the, you know, cover to cover of Scripture. God's permanence. God loves. God cares. God provides. God's kingdom cannot be overcome and outdone. So, at the end of chapter 2, which is just 49 verses, we learn that the king did place Daniel in a position of high power, in fact, over other leaders, and he was part of the court, and, you know, in Daniel fashion, he said, hey, can you, like, help my friends, too? So they got to be leaders as well. Daniel chapter 2 is rich. Bonnie said, what if? I'm like, what about? Well, next week, we'll focus on chapter 3, and I hope you come back because it's going to heat up a little bit as we take a look at the unfolding story. It ends pretty good in this, not for King Nebuchadnezzar, but it ends pretty good in chapter 2. In chapter 3, there's a lot of drama. What about? What about you? What about you? I don't know the challenges you're facing. Some I do. But I know that God will provide. Perhaps not the way you're hoping for, but God will provide, because when we are believers in Jesus Christ, his presence, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's provision. God will provide. He provided for Daniel. He'll provide for you. And we can also trust the God of providence because God cares. You are his creation. God loves who he created, what he created. God loves you. All things are under his authority. And so we've got provision and we've got providence. Remember, above all, God's kingdom is permanent. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of, it doesn't feel like it right now, perhaps. It's been a tough week. Our country is a bit polarized. But all this is going to go away. Everything will fade. I challenge you to trust God with all your heart and know that God is here and his kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. Trust God. Trust God with your kids, with your spouse, with your job, with your home, with your challenges. Trust God with your life. Today we move into Holy Communion, and it's a tangible way that we recognize that we can trust God, because it's a symbol, but it's so much more. It's a holy other than us, God's presence during communion. He was with his friends. He took bread. He lifted it to his Father in heaven. He broke the bread and he said, I'm not going to be with you much longer, but I'm going to give you something to remember me by. This is my body given for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup of juice and he said some interesting words. This is my blood shed for you. Every time you drink it, remember me. And so we come to this space where we receive the bread and the juice, symbolizing the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose again, conquering death itself, so that we have life and have it to the full. Almighty God, bless these gifts of bread and juice. Help us, Lord, trust you with everything we've got. Help us surrender. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here for the first time, this might be a little bit different for you, but you're invited to come too and receive this. This is God is the host. We're just the servers. And so we've got Sue and Paul, and they'll stand over here. And we have Rick and Marion. Rick has prepackaged communion, and Marion has gluten-free prepackaged communion. And they'll be right here in the middle. And then we have Sue and Mike over here. As you come forward, come with an open hand, and you'll hear the body of Christ given for you. Take that bread, dip it in the cup, you'll hear the blood of Christ shed for you. Nobody's going to tap you on the shoulder and say it's your turn. This is between you and God. Come and receive the gifts of God for the people of God. Come as you are led.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.